Okay, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Director Williams, we'll move on to our next one. This next topic is the trapping regulations and quotas for the next year, 2020. We brought forward two changes in June, and those changes have, you know, because they have kind of more an explanation for the public than for the commission, but for those items which have remained unchanged, the commission is not obligated to take public comment on. And so just wanted to clarify that and make that clear. So there's a couple of aspects that the department's bringing forward at this point that remain unchanged from what the commission heard in June. The first aspect of that deals with two specific changes to Swift Fox. The first aspect of that was to reduce the overall season length, and that going from March 1st, and it would be ending on January 15th instead. That proposal was presented to the commission in June, and we did take public comment on that. In addition, we also proposed expanding the overall area that was open for the take of Swift Fox at that point in time. We did not change the total number quota that we would be expecting to take. And so what we've actually got is the same number that could be taken in a shorter period of time over a larger area. A lot of the public comment that we received largely dealt with dislike of trapping in general. There was a lot of comment about dislike of trapping of Swift Fox. The proposal that these two proposals, and the reason we did not change in response to those comments was that biologically, this is likely to actually reduce the per capita take across the landscape because it would be spread over a larger area and it would be over a shorter period of time. A second item that we discussed quite a bit in June that we also have remained, the department's recommendation remains unchanged from what we provided in June, dealt with setbacks. The department did not recommend a change to setbacks in June. The commission did direct the department in October to investigate that. We had some challenges with scheduling, timing, and the coronavirus outbreak and the challenges that made with getting public input. Based on the direction provided to the by the commission in June, we've also tried to investigate how we, you know, some of the proposals that had come in. For instance, the Backcountry Alliance had provided some specific recommendations. The department has initiated looking into those. Started working with our region, started working with some of the federal land management agencies, and we've had some challenges in some instances, even getting feedback from the land management agencies. As we continued taking public input, we also received some additional ideas. Some of the comment was in support of the Backcountry Alliance's input. We did have some alternate ideas. We had some comment that was largely in opposition to taking any action at all because the department had not provided adequate time to provide that input. And there was also substantial input to just consider that any changes be a temporary change at all. Because of the lack of consistency, our inability to evaluate the proposals fully, especially the proposals that came in kind of late in the game, the department is recommending no change to setbacks. However, we have provided a timeline and a suggested schedule that we're going to try to use to adequately address this over the course of the next year and be able to come back in June. The proposed timeline is again it's general in nature. It's not a hard and fast one, but it's got some timelines. It allows us have a little bit of flexibility and still be able to adequately provide a recommendation to the commission that's a little better thought out and a little better evaluated in June. The final thing that I would like to point out is there are two changes, and these would be the things that would, if the commission chooses to adopt these, would routinely be allowed to take some additional public comment on at this point. But those two changes deal with Martin. The first one is related to the coronavirus and the disease outbreak that we're dealing with that and trying to minimize exposure to staff and to the public. And so there is a tagging requirement currently associated with Martin Take. And there is no statutory requirement for it. There is no, we can obtain the data simply through mandatory reporting. And so what we would like to propose for the upcoming year is that rather than having a physical tag that's placed on a Martin when it's been harvested, that instead we switch to mandatory reporting. With the mandatory reporting, we will still get the same level of data, the same type of data. It won't compromise our data collection. And so we'd like to propose that. The other aspect would be to actually close a portion of the state to the take of Martin. And that would be that area that has been where we're trying to release these martins and put them back on the landscape and thereby give them some protection and allow them for them to become reestablished. And so what we're proposing there is that we close Wheatland and the Judith Basin counties and portions of Mar and Cascade counties east of Smith River and east of Highway 89 to the take of Martin until that period of time where they become established. That concludes my presentation on this topic. I'd certainly be glad to try to address any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Winkley. So to clarify, what you're saying is that when you came to us in June, the only proposed changes to the previous year's regulations had to do with the SWIFT box. And of course, at the June meeting, there was discussion about why a group had not been formed to follow out the charge that the commission had given the department to look at some of these areas where our definition of closed roads and such may not line up with the use. And based on that, as you point out in the cover sheet, you all looked into that and had some discussion, but there's no proposed changes to the tentative. Likewise, on the SWIFT box, there's no change recommended, and you've articulated that in the cover sheet. So the only change to the proposed June tentative would be with regard to the two items on the Pine Martin, which is mandatory reporting and then closure in the areas where we're reintroducing those. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
And I apologize for that exercise, but I had to say it out loud to myself so I understood it. Okay, so with that, I turn it to commission for action or discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I move the commission vote to adopt the fur bearer and trapping regulations as presented by the department, with all other aspects to remain unchanged unless addressed in other proposals except for regular calendar rotation.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. One item I want to address before I turn Pine Martin out is there's a lot of comment came in on the SWIFT box. That was the primary change we made to the regulation. Me and a lot of the other commissioners received a lot of information from people about the SWIFT box and some pretty detailed scientific studies and references to those studies. And I just want to hear, you know, the department's position on that, and its level of comfort with its own science, and its decision to kind of stay the course, if you will.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. I think I would ask Bob Inman. I believe Bob is on the is available. And I believe I would ask him to respond to this. Bob, you're mute. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman Colton and Commissioners, Director Williams, Brian. Yes, we stand by the science that's available for Swift Fox and continuing the season as recommended previously. There was a dip in Swift Fox population associated with the 2010 and 11 winters. Our most recent surveys suggest that that they're coming back. We also have seen a great deal of expansion in other portions of the state, particularly southeast Montana and south central Montana, where over the last 5 years we've had numerous Swift Fox records, whereas in the previous 10 to 15 years, virtually none. So there's also been a clear expansion of Swift Fox populations in Wyoming. And it seems that the populations in both areas are doing much better in the last 5 years or so. So Swift Fox are more broadly distributed in Montana than they have been in a long, long time, decades. And their numbers are coming back in the northern part of the state. Some of the information that was available in the comments was probably not aware that there's a certain portion that international census counts fox within, and that fox are found now outside that area. The population is larger than what just occurs inside the census area. So, I'd also note that the two items that have been proposed are really more conservative moves, where what would have been incidental take and not counted against the quota in the past will be counted against the quota, and also a shortening of the season length. So we're comfortable with both of those proposals, and we're comfortable with the level of take of Swift Fox based on the best information that we have.
Follow up, Mr. Chair, or just comment.
Go ahead, Commissioner Brown.
Is there a pretty broad, I mean, how big is the interest of individuals trapping Swift Fox? I just thought maybe you would see a little more comments in favor of it, since we saw pretty extensive comment opposing it.
Thank you, Commissioner Brower. Yeah, that's a good question, and there weren't a lot of comments there. You know, we had talked with the Trappers Association prior to the proposal in June, and they were in support of it. I think that they're, my guess is that they didn't feel that there was a lot of need for comment there, because both of these proposals were moves towards a more conservative Swift Fox season that the Trappers Association had signed off on. And therefore, you know, there's not too much debate about it.
But you are comfortable with the science behind a quota of 10?
Yes, sir.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Vice Chairman Stuker.
Dr. Inman, how many do you know were taking under incidental takes in the past year or so? Because we have 10 now, and you say those will be counted against the quota.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Commissioner Stuker. The quota is 10, and I'm aware of at least 3 Swift Fox that have been taken outside of the area where they could be legally trapped in previous years. So it's not a lot. But those fox that are taken outside of the old Swift Fox trapping area, when that happens, They're essentially confiscated. They don't count against the quota of 10. And so you could, you know, in a year when one of those happens, you could have a take of 11 rather than 10.
But now you're saying those would count. So if you had one taken, there would only be 9 that could legally be trapped.
That's correct. This, if it would be, whereas in the past, it would be an incidental take and not count against the quota. If it's in the area where we're proposing an expansion, it would now count against that quota of 10. So in years when you could have had 11 taken, now you could only have 10 legally taken.
A couple of follow-up questions, if I may. I know the Swift Fox from the data I have seen, and I have some on my North Place, has expanded to more areas, but our numbers are still down. They, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they had hit 500 at one time, and then the 10, 11, they dropped down into the 200 range, 236 or something, and they're coming back. But where are they, or do you have any idea? Are they at 400? Are they still in the 200s, or where are they?
We do not have the population estimate at this point in time. And I would ask for some help from Region 6 folks if they're on the call, because they're more involved with the direct analysis and reporting on the most recent population estimate or census. There was a change in technique between the last survey and the most recent survey that we can show that there's an increase in distribution of Swift Fox. They were found in more townships than they were previously, so they're on the increase. But we can't necessarily put population numbers to that right away.
A follow-up there. I think 2 years ago, Region 6, and I apologize to Mark and his staff when I talked to him the other day, I had not remembered this, were looking at possibly reintroducing some areas down on the APR, and they backed off on that. But I guess I do have some problems if we're looking at reintroducing a species in a different area, and we're still allowing trapping that's not very far from that area. If you could address that, please.
Yes, sir. Good question. And the reintroduction you're talking about has now shifted to the Fort Belknap area, which is south of the river. And the river is largely seen as a barrier to Swift Fox dispersal. So we don't believe, the data we have suggests that, you know, fox are not going to cross that Milk River area and repopulate the Fort Belknap area. And so therefore it is an area where a reintroduction would help more than anything we could do with a trapping season. And the Region 6 also has some questions about habitat quality in those areas around Fort Belknap. And so I think FWP has not been directly involved with that reintroduction effort, but it is proceeding forward because Fort Belknap has the authority to do it. And we hope it goes well. We have questions about whether the habitat is really suitable and significant there. I hope it goes as well as possible. Another answer to the question would be compensatory mortality. Fox are going to succumb to mortality every year from various sources.